pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
For the second 2 hours, we've had two already, and talked a little bit about the new Netflix deep dive into the Florida years under Urban Meyer. We had Ralph Russo on earlier. A couple of student reporters have joined us. A few more to go. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Fairly quiet day as we are in that lull period right before things start really heating up next week and the week after. Let's check out AC first up here.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
AC, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, how are you feeling? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, I just don't get it. People, they go after John in Louisville. Sounds like a smart caller. I mean, what do you think? He sounds like a smart caller, right?
Yeah,
he sounds like a smart caller. I don't know what kind of degree he graduated with. Sounds like a Harvard or Yale, Mr. Feinbaum, probably, but I could be wrong. I mean, how can someone say that he makes their skin crawl? I mean, he doesn't make my skin crawl. My skin looks, my God, fabulous. It looks, that makes it look awesome. Takes people. That's your CNN and BBC reporter, Mr. Feinbaum. I love when he starts the show. I don't like callers, but I like smart.
Okay, AC, I appreciate you calling. We just can't hear you. Was that my imagination, or could you hear him?
That's a good thing.
I heard about every third word.
Yeah, must be a bad day in Bangladesh.
I mean, there's got to be a better connection in Bangladesh. Let's check out Josh in South Carolina. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So with the quarterback that's coming up, Spencer Rattler and Juice Wells, how do you think, because, I mean, we beat Clemson and Tennessee. What, was it last year that we beat Clemson and Tennessee? Like,
that was last year, yeah, the end of last season. That's correct.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive for Spencer Rattler. He finally showed that he could throw the ball down the field. My goodness.
No, it was amazing. It was one of the I think it was one of the best week-to-week events so we've seen in a long time. And that's one reason why so many people are high on Spencer this year as he gets ready for the season. Thank you for the call. Jay Bird is up next. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul Feinbaum?
Very well. Thank you.
This is Jay Bird from Jefferson County.
Yes, sir.
And a long time listener, first-time caller. Paul, I used to listen to you back when you were in my neck of the woods out here in Birmingham. And, Paul, I got a bone to pick with you, honestly.
Shoot.
You liked Birmingham. You liked Birmingham, didn't you, Paul?
I loved it. Absolutely.
So why come is it, Paul, you never talk about the University of Alabama at Birmingham, Paul? I'm talking about UAB. All you want to talk about is the satellite campus over in Tuscaloosa, UAT, Paul. And I give them their due. They've been good, but in the past few years and in the decade. Paul, the torch has now been passed to Georgia, and I'm thinking it's going to be passed to UAB. Paul, UAB is the future. And another thing. UAT is scared to play us, Paul, in anything. They won't play us in basketball. They killed our football program. What do you think about that, Paul?
I want to thank you very much for that enlightening call, Jay Bird. UAT? Is that how people refer to the University of Alabama now? I'm a big fan of UAB, and I think they've had some amazing football teams there, but I haven't noticed six national championships since 2009, but I have noticed that at UAT. John is in Louisville. Hello, John.
Hello, big guy. Jamari told me you said nom du jour to get through to you. So.
Exactly.
Hey, condolences to Fagan and his family, by the way, and Paul, I enjoy your visits with the campus reporters, and I have to ask you, at that age, did you have that kind of poisoned confidence?
No, I. You wouldn't have wanted to have me on your show at that age.
By the way, I think Handsome Joe is handsome. What makes him handsome, that is his humility and his honesty and his sense of levity, so just for what it's worth. But I'm going to follow up on the AP Top 25 listening to Russo today. Obviously, I think we all agree on the top four, but I'm going to mention Clemson with its defense. I'm going back to Phil Steele. And then I think on the other side of the country, I think USC in its Pac-12 or Pac-10, whatever it is these days, and Texas in the Big 12, Big 10, whatever, they have a chance. And the person the team I would pull out, I know you won't like this, is Ohio State, only because they're losing their bookend tight ends, or excuse me, offensive tackles, their center, their quarterback, and they've got a new coordinator on the offense. And then I'm going to give you a dark horse, and I know Expire like this, but I think the team itself, the talent, I'm going to pick Texas A&M. They're way down at number 23, which is pretty embarrassing for Jimbo and going into a sixth year, but they do have the talent and the quarterback. Would you agree?
I think they have everything. Now, it's just a matter of how it comes together and how quickly. They have a Miami game early on. That's a game that looks a little bit more foreboding, maybe. They should win the game, but they stumbled last year at the beginning of the season, and I think if they can get off to a fast start, wait for Alabama, they can make a lot of damage.
Do they play Appalachian State this year?
No, thank goodness. They finally bought them off the schedule.
Yeah. Hey, quick summary on the realignment. The Pac-List four, those last four are adrift in the Pacific. I think their only lifeline is from the Mountain West. The Big 12 is soon to be 18, is fat, happy, and has a lot to digest. The Big 10 is fat, happy, and very rich. The ACC is in lockdown, and its members are in contractual bondage, so they're not going anywhere. The SEC is the status quo because the ACC isn't available. And I think the only question is Notre Dame. They have a contract coming up with NBC next year. Will NBC try and move them toward their partner, the Big Ten? I don't see much movement beyond that, do you?
I don't either. And what people fail to understand is how difficult it is to digest. I mean, you've heard all these conversations we've had for 2 years. What is the SEC schedule going to look like? And they're still working on it. And there are a lot of challenges. And when you bring in, forget two, when you bring in four new schools like the Big Ten is doing and the Big 12, it's mind-boggling the factors that go into it.
Excellent point. And just think about your program bringing in all those new fan calls.
Yeah, no, I mean, the transformation that we'll start making here in a couple of months toward Texas and Oklahoma is already being discussed. This is not something you do overnight. John, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Really good to hear from you. Let's continue here. Raymond is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Raymond.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
I think your caller AC from Bangladesh. I'm on?
You are on, yes.
I believe that it was AC for Bangladesh, wasn't it? A concert for Bangladesh?
Yeah, well, that was in, you're right. I think that was in, 1970-something? 1971, maybe?
Yeah, the Beatles
Harrison,
were in it and all them.
Put on
anyway,
a concert at Madison Square Garden. Bob Dylan was there, Robin Shanker. It was a famous concert.
Yeah, it raised a bunch of money, didn't it?
It did. They had a terrible, flooding situation in Bangladesh, and Harrison became very moved by it, and he had that concert at Madison Square Garden.
Okay, the other question I wanted to ask you is, with the new pod system coming in, when is it implemented?
That will be next year.
Okay, and how do you see it affecting traditional rivalries and, the very fabric? I mean, because you had a caller on earlier from Auburn, and I love the Auburn-LSU matchup. I've always loved how weird it can be. I remember I lived up on the hill in Augusta one year when that old basketball arena behind it caught on fire.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And just the strangest games of all time. And, I don't know. I'm not real sure how it's going to affect the fabric. Because, that's what we're dealing with, really, and the love we have for the game.
And this is to be determined, and thank you, if the SEC goes to 9 games, and I think it's a fait accompli that they will, you'll see more of those games. The first time out next year, it's going to be a little bit limited, but there's so many marquee games already when we had that schedule release about 2 months ago. Heading to the break, more to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Phil is up next in Columbia, South Carolina. Hello, Phil.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I'm calling in. I'm from Carolina, South Carolina, Columbia, actually. And I'm calling in about, I actually follow Nick Saban. I kind of like him as a head coach and the way he stands behind his players. But anyway, you made some comments in the past about, possibly him being, at the end of his run and everything. And, those same comments were made around the time when Dabo started beating them in the national championships. And now Georgia's got the helm. But what usually happens to those programs is they start losing their assistant coaches to other jobs and, the recruiting and all the off field kind of issues that Georgia's now having. Do you think that Nick Saban may, eventually get back to the top, maybe at least win another national championship or two?
Phil, I think he could very easily win another national championship because he has almost everything you need. And you're right about the assistants, but nobody has ever been able to withstand losing coaches more successfully than he has. He's won countless national championships after losing both coordinators. So I do believe he can do it again.
Okay, well, that's all I had, because I know Dabo was up there and now,
he won 2 championships. He played, was in the playoffs 3 other times, losing in 2 championship games. And his program slipped a little bit, and I think he's corrected that. I feel like they have a real shot this year. But the great coaches can withstand that, and I think Dabo Sweeney and Nick Saban are among the great coaches in the game today. Thank you very, very much for the call. Squirrel is up next.
Paul, I've been listening to this soap opera the past few days. And I heard Mr. Magoo's 5 or 6 calls that he's made. And First of all, I'm surprised he can take his lips off I-Man's nipple long enough to make a phone call, first of all. And second of all, he's kind of wanting to make this a Squirrel Legend versus I-Man Jim feud. And that's never going to happen because I don't have any issues with I-Man. And matter of fact, I don't want to cause any rifts in the marriage or anything, but, you know, I-Man called last week. We had a nice little chat. So there's no animosity there. I don't know. Has Jim, do you remember back when Jim didn't need someone propping him up, Paul?
When was that, Squirrel?
They say it was 10 or 12 years ago. I don't know. I've only been listening for about 10. So I guess I missed those days. But yeah, at one point, he didn't need someone to prop him up.
There was definitely a time when Jim was a standalone act. He did not have drafting partners. Mm-hmm.
When you get old, you need help. You know, as you get older in life, you need help. And there's
right.
No shame in that, I guess.
No, there isn't.
And I'm glad. No, there's no shame at all. And I'm glad to hear
I understand it well.
I'm 60, going on 65, so hell,
yeah, no, I'm
needing help more and more every day.
I finally agree. I've been walking with a cane. Randy helps me down the hallway.
Well, at least it's not a walker. At least it's not a walker, you know. I'm glad to hear Legends back in culinary school and is going to stick with that. And
I think what Legend is going to discover is the real is the real action is the They're telling me that your friend wants to say hello to you.
He's not my friend, Paul. He's living me. He's a liar. But he knows nothing about me. I don't care if he blacks me. I've got nothing for this guy. He's lied about me four or five times. I didn't say a word about me. I didn't say a word about this guy. I didn't say a word about him between me and I, man. He's making that up. He makes up lies like Adam Schiff. He's just a stinking liar. And I'm glad he's a friend of Legion, you know, the guy that he started out putting down, talking about, he's the one that saw Legion with a stupid name on his back that he plastered all over his back, and he put him down for about a year.
True,
and then all of a sudden,
I did see that.
He changes his team and sucks up to the murderer. I mean, what kind of guy is Squirrel? He's nothing but a phony. Just a total lie. You've lied about
Squirrel.
Me. I don't got nothing for you. What business were you in before you got
sir.
In my business, you old
sir.
Man?
Sir.
Go ahead, Squirrel.
Is he still on?
We have figured out a way to allow you to talk.
I just wanted to ask him some questions about that AAA contract he was offered 4 years after he quit baseball. I never heard that story back during our conversation, so I was just, if he could expound on that a little bit, I'd
maybe
appreciate
it. Squirrel, could it be that he was saving that for a bigger audience?
He was saving it for something. But no, tell the old gentleman I said hello. I'm sorry I upset him, and thank you for taking my
phone call. I'm offended, Squirrel, since I'm older than you, that he called you an old man.
Jim is going on, what, 80? And so I chuckle each time he calls somebody an old man. But no, the dude's just he's a phony. That's why I had to kind of cut the cord, because, again, I can't pretend. You know, I mean, the dude is Jim from Tuscaloosa 24/7. I mean, literally 24/7. This is his life.
Now,
and
Squirrel,
it was too much.
During when you guys were going steady, I mean, what was? Give us some insight.
Yeah.
Give us the tell-all book.
Oh, well, be prepared to have multiple phone calls from Jim per day. I'm talking about he's going to call and he's going to dominate the conversation. Then he's going to hang up, and then 5 minutes later, he's going to call back with something else he thought about. And then about 15 minutes later, he's going to call up again with something that you should say on the show the next time you call. I mean, the dude's a clown, man. And I had to get off the merry-go-round with him. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't handle the mental strain. But I'm glad the old gentleman has found a surrogate and a friend. And I wish him the best. And I can't wait till they have a child. Can't wait to see what it looks like. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Oh, my. We head to the break. Parker Scott covers the University of Kentucky. He's a student at the University of Kentucky. And he'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Continue back to school. We're doing it all week. We do it every year. One of our favorite events. We visit every campus in the SEC and talk to the student reporter who covers the team. Parker Scott joins us from Lexington with the Kentucky Colonel. Parker, thanks for the time. Before we talk about the Wildcats, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up making your way to Kentucky?
Thank you, Paul. So I'm originally from the Nashville area. I grew up like watching the Titans and Predators, and just got really into sports from there. And it was obvious I wanted to work somewhere in the sports industry. And being in the SEC, like, you know, they're all about sports. And so I wanted to make a point to go to an SEC school. And I loved Kentucky's campus. And when I got there, I found the journalism program, and it's just amazing. And I got involved with the Colonel the first semester after I got there. And It's been great ever since then. I've realized that working in the media part of sports is what I want to do. So
I realize there's still some time to make this determination and decision, but I sound like one of your guidance counselors now, but a couple of years from now, when you get through covering the Cats, what do you see yourself or what would you like to be doing?
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, covering the Cats will obviously be great. I mean, they have good, you know, athletics and stuff here, but maybe I end up, you know, back closer to home or elsewhere in the country covering some kind of sports, but that would be ideal to me. Just working with some kind of sports. That's what I've been around all my life. And, that's what I aspire to do, with my life. So.
Well, Parker, let's talk about the Wildcats, because last year started off great. It didn't end well. Injuries to Levitz and so many others played a role. What is your sense as we get ready for the first game in a couple of weeks?
So I have a generally good outlook for this season. Obviously the core offense is different. I have Will Levis and Chris Rodriguez going to the NFL, and have Devin Leary transferring in from NC State and Ray Davis transferring in from Vanderbilt. And most of the core wide receivers, Dane Key, Barron Brown, Tavion Robinson, are coming back. And some other key defensive players returning and transferring in. And it's a tough schedule for sure. I think a lot of the tough games being at home helps a lot. You know, I have Florida, Tennessee, Alabama at home, and then Georgia on the road is obviously a tough game. But in general, the schedule is difficult but manageable. And with Liam Cohen coming back, I think that's huge. He led the team to a 10-3 record in 2021. And could be similar this year with him running the offense. And Jay Boulware coming in for special teams. I think that'll be a lot bigger of a deal than a lot of people anticipate because of the various struggles on special teams last year. And, yeah, I think the ceiling for the team can definitely be as many as 9-10 wins this year despite the tough schedule.
Yeah, Parker, we had a chance to talk to Devin a couple of days ago, and he was really fired up, especially, I think, with Liam Cohen, and you mentioned the wide receivers. I mean, he's got a lot of compliments around him. How much different do you think this offense is going to look from what we saw last year under Levitz?
I think it'll be similar. I mean, Cohen running the offense will obviously be different. I mean, he runs a pro-style offense, which is good because, you know, he wants to develop players into going pro, and I think he can do great with Devin Leary, who already has a lot of experience, and having other experienced players and more coming in. I just think it'll be a great year for the offense, and hopefully the offensive line is able to gotten some upgrades. They've had some noticeable weaknesses last year, having the Marquis Cox transferring in for Northern Illinois and most of the main core coming back. All of that, I mean, I think is going to make the offense maybe better this year than it was last year, but we'll see.
Well, let's talk about what you said a minute ago, because fans always want to know how the team is going to do, and most of them probably think they'll do better than maybe the experts, but how does this team get to a great season? What's the key?
I think just being able to come out of tough games, which was a big factor last year. You know, they actually put up a really good fight against Georgia. I remember it was like only 16-6, which is not many SEC teams and teams in general were able to do that against a team like that. And I think having a lot of the games at home will be good. Having the home crowd there. Being able to come out of those games is what made the difference last year, and I think will make the difference this year. Because obviously the first few games won't be difficult, but going into the SEC stretch and the final rivalry game against Louisville, I think will be the determining factors for the season, how well the team will perform in those high pressure games.
Parker, let's close talking about Mark Stoops, who is one of our favorites here. He's always very accessible, and when we saw him recently in Nashville, he seemed pretty laid back for Mark Stoops, who has dealt with some difficult early days and now seems to be one of the most respected coaches in the SEC. What's it like to deal with him, and what are your thoughts on his approach to coaching?
Yeah, I for sure think Mark Stoops is an amazing coach and an overall great person. I think he was a great hire for the team. Being there 11 years now, I mean, it's not necessarily common for Kentucky coaches to stick around quite that long, but with the job he's doing, he definitely deserves it. He's hiring great people to work under him. He's developing players to be really good in college and also going on the NFL. I know the team's had a large amount of draft picks over the years. And I'm excited for what he has to do to continue the work with the team this year. Especially considering the new players coming in and a lot of high expectations still. So, I like the job he's doing for sure.
Parker Scott, who writes for the Kentucky Colonel, the school newspaper. Parker, we hope to see you as we work our way to the season and maybe when we get up there. Thank you very, very much and all the best. We really appreciate that. Really cool talking to all the young reporters, their perspective, their predictions as well. Let's grab a call or two here before we move too far along. And how about Jason in Georgia? Hello, Jason. Jason, you there?
Yep, I'm here, Paul.
Well, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I kind of got to agree with Larry's call earlier and everything he said. Legend is doing good. He's come a long way. He's doing good in his in the cooking school. He's got a show coming up on ABC 3340.
Yes,
he's really doing good. And Jim needs to just leave him alone. You know, let legend be legend and Jim be Jim.
I will make sure both of them hear that in case they missed it. Thank you very much. Ryan in Maryland. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Paul. How we doing?
We're doing great.
Love to hear it. Yeah, love you having all these young reporters on the show and whatnot. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wanted to ask what your intel was on Alabama quarterback situation the past couple of days.
Well, I haven't heard a lot great, but I mean, the only thing I heard was that Milroe.
Whoa, that's great. Come on, it's got all be good news.
Milroe did okay at the scrimmage, and they're still trying to wait for Simpson to come along. I have not heard that much about Buckner. What about you?
Buckner's kind of he's been weeded out, it seems. But I just looking at their schedule, how do they not go undefeated regular season? Then predict the Alabama Georgia SEC championship game.
Well, I agree with you on the championship game. I'm not sure about the undefeated part, but I think if they can,
who do they lose to?
Well, how long do you have?
I got all day, Paul.
Well, I mean, you know which games are tweeners. I think today I think they'll get by Texas. I know everybody has made that into Armageddon. I don't think it will be. I think the A&M game will be very difficult for them. I frankly think that's the most difficult game on the regular season schedule.
No, I agree. Being away there, not great. But after seeing the Johnny Manziel documentary, I think Texas A&M should just be stripped of all their wealth.
I have not seen it yet. What stood out to you? A lot of people panned it.
Well, no, the one thing that I found out is that Johnny Manziel's family is not from oil money. I stood by that for a long time. They debunked that fact. That got all made up.
I spent some time with Johnny's dad one day, and I did not see any oil falling out of his pocket.
Yeah, no, exactly. But all right. I know I got a little bit out of you. What do we have for the national championship prediction?
Well, Ryan, I think right Alabama now they have two is big in contention. I just don't think they're going to win. I'm convinced. I want to know why you think Alabama is going to win at all.
I think we put Jalen Milroe under center and let his game speak for itself. If he can play under control, all we need is a game manager these days. But, actually, looking at it, the wide receiver room now is great as it has been.
Well, Ryan, thanks for your optimism. You're probably a little more optimistic than I am, but that's okay. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Charlie is up next. Good afternoon. I'm sorry. Let me try that one again. Eugene is up next. Hey, Eugene.
Yeah, how you doing, Feinbaum?
We're doing okay.
Long-time caller. I mean, long-time listener, but first-time caller.
Well, thank you, Eugene.
You know, you probably hear more about Alabama than we do. I'm a big Alabama fan. And that's not much. Old Saban, he's not going to say much, is he?
No, he never does. And there's really no upside in saying anything.
Yeah, he's afraid to say anything. I guess afraid somebody might talk about him some more. You know, they said everybody's so worried about talking about Alabama. You know, worried about Alabama, who they're going to play and what they're doing. I mean, they need to worry about their own teams, don't they?
They do. Well, what do you think about it, Eugene?
Well, I worry about Alabama, you know. I don't worry about who they play. I just hope they do good when they do play.
Well, I appreciate that very much. You take care of yourself. Charlie is up next in Georgia. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, I've got a question for you and then a little comment, if you don't mind, afterwards.
Of course.
All these conferences seem to be coming unraveled. And if I'm not mistaken, in almost every venue in college, football funds all the Title IX sports, which
correct.
Are in the hundreds or thousands. And so as these conferences come unglued, what's going to happen to all those Title IX issues where these big contracts are going to certain teams or certain conferences? But there got to be some conferences that are going to lose money on this, and how are they going to make up the money they're losing for their Title IX issues? And the second thing I was going to say is today has been kind of comedic. I got to admit, I'd like to say you're the 800-pound gorilla in the room. You control all these characters that are on your show, and they're fun to listen to sometimes, and sometimes they're not. But you got a couple that are dancing on the line and about to cross it, and I don't know how you control it. I don't know if you talk to them or if they just calm down themselves, but it,
well,
it's
well, being, well, Charlie, it's a little, do this for me. Tell me who is right near that line, because maybe I'm too close
to think
the sun.
Jim, yeah, I think Jim's been tiptoeing on the line for a while. I don't like to call names because, I mean, everybody's got people they like and don't like, and I don't know Jim, so I'm not saying this in a personal sense. I just think that he just calls and raves and rants. He doesn't give much value to your show other than being a sort of a guy that took three pills too many this morning.
I appreciate the counsel, Charlie. Thank you very, very much. Willie, I'm next in Georgia. Hey, Willie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to change the kind of tone of the thing. I want to ask some questions here. Howard Snellenberger, the University of Miami head coach, he was the one that, I think, put the university on the map for his winning and stuff like that. But what I'm going to ask you is this. If he wouldn't have went to the USS Football League or whichever one it was, and stayed with the University of Miami, how many championships do you think? I know it's a hypothetical, but how many championships do you think he would have won?
Willie, it is one of the great questions, one of the vexing questions in college football history for this reason. Howard Snellenberger was a protege of Paul Bryant. He went to Miami and really was on the precipice of a dynasty. He won the title, what was it, in 83? Yeah.
83.
Yeah,
80,
he won the title in 82. Or, yeah, 83. And he left shortly after that to go to the USFL, which was in existence. That was the league that Donald Trump owned, the New Jersey Generals, with Herschel Walker and Reggie White played. And the team that he went to, I think it was Orlando, I could be off, never materialized. And he never ended up coaching, but he left behind a gold mine that I think was it Jimmy Johnson that came in next? Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson
came
in,
and then Dennis Erickson and Butch Davis. And I would say he would have won 5 or 6 national championships at Miami had he stayed there.
Yeah, because that was the next question, because Jimmy Johnson came behind him. He won, I think, 2.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you remember Larry Coker, I think he won 1.
Well, Larry won one much later, but what's interesting about Howard Snellenberger is he came within a whisker 2 different times of going to Alabama. And something always happened. Something in his past that one person at Alabama continued to block him. He went to Louisville in the 90s and did really well there. In fact, he beat Alabama in a bowl game in 1990. And then he made another unbelievably bizarre move. He he went to Oklahoma at one point, and it was probably the worst matchup. He didn't last more than a year there, I don't think. And, you know, he just ended up making 2 of the worst decisions. I mean, I think I told Howard this before he died. We had him on. He could have been one of the 3 or 4 greatest coaches, I think, in college football history in the modern era. He was that good.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up. It's one of my favorite subjects about what, you know, you sit around and you read these books about, you know, what if this happened or what if that happened. And he might be the all-time what if in college football history.
Because, you know, the reason I was saying that, because I look at the guy that came behind him and won 1 here and 1 there and 2 here and 2 there. And I was saying to myself, if this man would have stayed put and really built this program to the point where he was building it to the utmost, I think he could have won, you know, like you said, five.
No, six, I mean, and by the way, I don't even think, when you think about what happened afterwards, Jimmy played for it a couple of times and he won one. I think Erickson may have won two national championships, right, and then lost one to Alabama. I mean, there's three right there, and Miami blew a couple as well. As you know, they lost to Penn State 1 year. They right. lost to Alabama 1 year. They may have lost Correct. Another one yeah. in there. But I would say I think five national championships would have been my number.
Oh, okay, well, I can't disagree with you, Paul. But I was going across my mind, and everybody was talking about Nick is a great coach, but Nick had enough sense to understand that where he would make his name at would be in college. Howard, he was like a kind of like a, I guess, a renegade.
Hey, Billy, Willie, let me ask you this question as we close. You've asked, I think another, it doesn't matter now because he's won seven national championships, but if Nick Saban had stayed at LSU instead of going to Miami and was still there, the question is, how many national championships would he won at LSU?
That's true.
I'm so glad you called. Thank you very much. Schnellenberger is just, you know, he's, I mean, when he passed away, it was people, I don't think, really understood his greatness. And I'm fortunate enough to have been around him enough times and been covering college football in his era. And it is really, to me, one of the saddest things that I've ever watched happen. Thank you for the call, Willie. That was great. We'll be right back, another hour to go.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.